And then we need a coordinator for our Red Cross blood drive that we're going to have in early October. So we have a coordinator's packet. If you're somebody that would like to take that on, we'd love to hear from you. But we were approached by the Red Cross and asked if we could. We've done this before. And so we said, sure, we would be glad to serve our community by doing that. Our May mission of the month is Everly Martinson and her family. Everly is a two-year-old from Fergus Falls who has stage 4 bone, liver, and blood cancer. So we want to support that. As you go through the line today to get food at the end of the service, there'll be a basket out there. And if you feel led to Everly Martinson, that's your chance right there. And then it was fun to see people show up for the pictorial directory. So we had 2 days of photo shooting going on here at church. I really, the company that we're using, is they're just awesome. And so we've got 2 more dates coming up in June for you to sign up. There's sign-up sheets for you to sign up. And by the way, this is not about membership, okay? This is if you attend here, even on an occasional basis, the directory is just a tool, okay, so that we can connect faces with names. That's all it is. You don't have to be a member here to show up for the photo directory. If you like to worship here, we would love to have you in the photo directory, okay? It's just a tool for us to get to know each other. So there's 2 more dates in June, June 29th and 30th. That's a Wednesday and Thursday. Sign-up sheets are back there for you to sign up. And so there'll be, I think, another time in August, but try to get it in June, okay? So we're building. A lot of people showed up. I even got my picture taken, and I didn't break the camera either. So, and then thank you to Greg and Deanne Melkert and family for including us in their baptismal celebration. That was great. They just served the whole church and invited everybody into that, and that was great. And then thanks to Cheryl Rotz and the other church volunteers who showed up to help with the church directory photo shoot. So those are the announcements. Anything else that needs to be said at this time? Going once? Going twice? All right, we'll turn the corner into our worship service proper. We open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I mentioned, this is Memorial Day weekend, and so as we think of Memorial Day, let us pray. Gracious Father, we are mindful on Memorial Day of war's destruction and of all who have died in service of our freedom. May we, the living, dedicate our lives to those ideals for which they died. Restore us to being that people whose God is the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
This morning, I'd like to invite you to join in our opening song. You can see up on the screen, I Will Bow to You. Lord, I will bow to you, to no other God but you. Lord, I will worship you, nothing.
call to worship this morning is found in the book of Psalm. It's Psalm 47, verses 5 through 9. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. God reigns over the nations. The nobles of the nations assemble. For the kings of the nations bow to God. He is greatly exalted. Let us pray. Almighty God, your only Son was taken into the heavens and in your presence intercedes for us. Receive us and our prayers for all the world, and in the end bring everything into your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'll ask any praise singers to come join me as we turn to a response hymn titled Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. It's hymn number 526 in the green hymnal, or as seen on the screen.
Singers, immortal, invisible, God only wise. This majestic, awesome God is our creator. He created our world to be a good world. He pronounced it good, but then sin came in and changed things. Our first parents fell into sin and passed that on to us, but we are here gathered in his name because he wasn't satisfied with that. He wasn't going to go to a plan B. He wanted plan A, so he sent his Son to redeem us, to bring us back into fellowship with him, and we confess and connect with that great truth of our redemption, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Every Sunday, when we do what we're going to do right now, standing before God openly and honestly and confessing our need for his grace and his forgiveness and hearing once again that glorious good news that we are forgiven. Let's do this together. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's promise to us sinners is very clear from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's claim that promise together right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news to us: in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed. Christians all over the planet have confessed this biblical and orthodox statement of faith for over 1,700 years. We step into the stream of that rich tradition now, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then he gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and to you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After this, he said this. He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Our second reading is written by Paul to the Ephesians. Thanksgiving and prayer. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Our prayers this morning are: God of peace, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for peace. We pray for those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy. O God, giver and sustainer of life, we thank you for the favorable weather to plant our crops. We ask that you would grant us good conditions to finish our planting and protect those who are working diligently to complete it. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you, Greg. I think you heard both themes for today in those scriptures. It is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and the theme of the pericope text listed in the lectionary is the theme of prayer. But it's also Ascension Sunday, so we heard of the Ascension from Acts and a beautiful text on prayer from Ephesians. And we'll hear a little bit more about prayer in our gospel text today. But before we get there, it's about halftime. So let's stand up, stretch our legs, and in whatever way seems appropriate to you, greet your neighbor. Norm? Good to see you. Good morning. Good to see you. Morning, Sadie. Good to see you. Good morning. Welcome.
I'm her sister.
Okay. All right. Good morning. Hey, good morning. Good to see you. Good morning. Good morning, Mason. Good morning. Are you back for the summer?
Yep.
Awesome. Good morning. Good to see you. Well, before we get into the message proper, I'm going to ask if there's any kids out there who'd want to meet me over at the table and the chair for a message just for you. And I see Dacia's coming up here with the fruit snacks, so it won't be a total loss. All right, good to see you guys. Well, today we're going to talk about prayer. And we all pray, don't we? We talk to God. And I got this from Carol Hybe. And Carol, along with being a mom and a grandma and even a great-grandma and the maker of many awesome bars and treats, she was also a Sunday school teacher. And she taught, I think, kindergarten, Carol? Kindergarten. And so I got this from Carol, and this is something she used to teach in her class. It's called the five-finger prayer. And it's especially geared towards intercessory prayer. And that's not when we pray for ourselves, but when we pray for somebody else. So you can see here, first of all, if you hold your hand up, you can remember this prayer because we have the thumb. The thumb is for those closest to you, not me, but for the people closest to us, like our family and our very good friends. So we pray for them. And then we have our pointer finger, right? And the pointer finger is where we pray for people that lead us and give us direction. Like when you were to ask me, where's the fellowship hall? I would say, over there, and you would follow my finger, right? So these are people that lead us, like teachers and doctors and priests and pastors, because we need prayer, a lot of it. And then we pray for wisdom and support for them. And then our index finger, and that's the tallest finger you can see here on mine. Mine's much taller. Yeah, you? Yep, so that's our tallest finger, isn't it? And so the index, the tallest finger, we want to pray for those that lead us, especially government, ask for guidance and wisdom, and we have a government official here. Jordan is here. He's our representative, so we pray for people like Jordan and people in our government. We have to remember that. We like to complain about government a lot, don't we? But we have to remember to pray for our government, okay? And then our ring finger, and that's probably our weakest finger, and that represents those who are weak, who are in trouble, who are in pain, and we can't pray too much for them, can we? And then we have our pinky finger, don't we? That little finger. And so we want to remember to pray for the smallest, our prayers for ourselves and for our own needs, and then for the wee little ones, okay? So that's kind of cool. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we pray for our family. We pray your blessing upon them, and we pray for those that lead us in our lives, like our teachers and our doctors and our pastors. Give them wisdom and support. And we pray for those who are in our government to represent us. We pray for those that lead us in government. We ask for your guidance and your blessing upon their lives. Give them great wisdom. And then, Lord, we pray for those who are weak and in trouble and in pain and suffering. Lord, grant them relief from their suffering and a sense that you are with them. And then, Lord, we pray for ourselves, and we pray for the little ones amongst us, that you would bless us in everything we do. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so five-finger prayer, right? Remember that one? See if you can. Thank you for coming up here. And let's give them a hand, shall we? All right. His prayer for you. This comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. It's a passage known as the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus, where he, before he went to the cross, he met with them. And John gives us those glorious chapters where Jesus hunkers down with his disciples and really just gives them a whole bunch of very personal teaching. And this text is about his prayer for them and for us. So let's pray as we come to this text. Lord, your word is truth. Your word is spirit. You speak to us by it, and through it you give us faith. Bless us now as we enter into it. Amen. Well, people of faith, you, me, we all pray. Even the not very religious pray. In all my years of visiting with people as a pastor, visiting with people who would not want to label themselves as religious in any way, I've yet to have any of them turn me down when I've asked if I could pray for them. Of course, yes, you may, please. So our catechism, before it launches into a full-on examination of the Lord's Prayer, covers the topic of prayer in a general way with 10 questions. Now, I would venture to say that whether you've studied the catechism or not, you can answer these basic questions just based on your own experience with prayer. And to prove this point, at the risk of violating your safe spaces and making you feel uncomfortable, I'm going to ask these questions to you. Now, there won't be a quiz, okay? I'm not going to ask you to take out a clean sheet of paper, but you can just take this quiz kind of silently in your head. So here we go. Question number one. What is prayer? Answer, prayer is just talking to God silently or out loud. That's all it is. It's just talking to God. He's a real person. You can talk to him. In whose name should I pray? Well, not my own name, but I should pray in the name of Jesus. Okay? He's purchased and paid for that and to clear the way to come into God's throne room. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Well, it's not a magic talisman that I just throw on the end of my prayer. God, I would love a brand new Cadillac in Jesus' name. Right? No, it doesn't work that way. To pray in Jesus' name means that we align ourselves with what he did and what he wants for my life. So I have to tap into his will and his purpose. And that's when I pray in Jesus' name. When should I pray? Well, the catechism says God is always ready to hear me, so often and constantly. And if we hear the Apostle Paul from 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, pray without ceasing. Be in this constant state of God consciousness, so to speak, always praying. And I can't tell you how many times I've asked for help when I've gotten a phone call to go to a difficult situation, whether it's the emergency room or the funeral home, and it's like, Lord, help me out. I need your help. And one of the best prayers that you can pray, you know, Facebook, I'm praying for you. I think it's better to just say, Lord, have mercy. That's a real honest prayer. It fits into almost any situation, doesn't it? Lord, have mercy. That's what we need. That's what we want. Don't be afraid to just pray that prayer. Lord, have mercy. For whom should we pray? Well, we just had a little primer on that. For myself, for the whole world, and even pray for my enemies. Okay? That's what Jesus tells us in Matthew 5. For what should I pray? Well, I pray. We pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. Thy will be done, right? That's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing he was going to the cross. Father, if there's any way I could accomplish this without this, but not my will, but thy will be done. That works for us also. Does God always answer your prayers? I think we know this one. No. Now, I can personally, I agree with the Christian writer one time who said, I can take it when God says yes, I can take it when God says no, but when he says go to the waiting room, that's when I have a hard time, right? We want answers. We want it now. So, yes, but we should pray according to his will always, John 15. Is God's answer sometimes no? Obviously, yes, because of my wrong motives. And sometimes God gives us what we ask for just to teach us a lesson. I'm convinced of that. He did it with the disciples. So are your prayers answered right away? Sometimes, sometimes not. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And then finally, what other divine person helps you pray? Well, this is the Holy Spirit. We read in Romans 8:26 that he intercedes for the saints with groanings too deep for words. And then we also hear in Romans 8:34, Jesus says that he is at the right hand of God who and interceding for us. And if I visit you in the hospital or at the home and I read Romans 8 to you, and I get to that section where it says that he is at the right hand of God and he is interceding for us, I might stop and say, isn't that awesome? that Jesus is at the right hand of God, speaking your name, speaking our name into the Father's ear as our advocate. Beautiful. Okay, so hope you did well on that quiz. You all passed, okay? Now, if you have any experience with prayer, you can probably think of a time when God had already discerned the need of your prayer well in advance of your asking, and the answer was provided almost before you got up off your knees, or maybe even before you went to prayer. Now, I shared one of these last week in my sermon. I was sitting in the waiting room of the eye surgeon, worried that I had something serious going on, and I had a friend that I hadn't talked to in 10 years called me. And it was just like God saying, Brad, it's going to be okay. And my friend said, oh, yeah, I had that a couple of years ago. They called it tired eyes. And lo and behold, that's what it was. Hadn't talked to him in 10 years. So that was just God looking out for me. But you have to look for those moments. So today on this seventh Sunday of Easter, we will hear how our Lord prayed in advance for us, laying before us his own gracious will and provision for our lives as we live in this sin-soaked and fallen world. John chapter 17, verses 9 through 20, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that's Judas, of course, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those, and here we are, who will believe in me through their word. And so, here all of a sudden we find ourselves in this prayer. Jesus prayed for us. Now, before we go any farther with this text, we should pause briefly and examine our own prayer life, okay? Let's take a look at our prayers. It's natural, as we said, for people of faith, even very little faith, to pray, to talk to God. And you see, our struggle in prayer is matching our desires with God's will. That's our big problem. We want too many of the wrong things. God says, you can ask, that's fine. Sometimes we feel like my kids used to say when they were little, you always say no, right? Have you ever heard that? And I would often retort, I'd say, well, I don't think that's accurate, but you know what, from now on, I'm going to always say no. No, Dad, we didn't mean it. We didn't mean it. It was just a figure of speech. Okay. So, but this struggle we have is based on the fact that we really don't see the way God sees. We don't see the whole picture of our lives as God does. We see our lives, you know, in the present, in the immediate future, and then a little bit beyond that. And we think we know what will make us happy. God sees us for who we really are, and that is people who are living against the backdrop of eternity. We are eternal beings. And so he's always dealing with us in that context. So we don't often see the whole picture. Jesus, however, understands God's perfect will and plan for our lives. He understands God's timing. And so when Jesus prays for us, when he intercedes for us, his prayers are perfect. We can't say that about our prayer life, but our Lord's prayer life is perfect. So in today's gospel text, we see that Jesus' prayer for us is intercessory or priestly in nature. That's what a priest does. He's a go-between. Okay, in the Old Testament, we saw this. You'd go to the temple with a sacrifice, and a priest would meet you, and then the priest would be your go-between. Okay, so Jesus is our priest. He's our intercessor. So Jesus introduces me to this concept by including me in this prayer. We saw that at the very last part of the text. I don't pray for, not for these that I'm talking to right now, the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So the apostles went on to write the New Testament, and we've read that New Testament, and God has given us faith to believe in Jesus. So it's remarkable to realize now that Jesus prayed for me as he was nearing the end of his physical time on earth, the night before he was crucified. And he thought about me in my time and in my place when he was facing the cross and when he knew he would be risen and then ascended into heaven. So by way of contrast to our often imperfect prayers, we should be encouraged by this prayer of Jesus because it's perfect. It's perfection. He prayed for all the right things for us. So following the question from the catechism now, we're going to ask the why and the what question of Jesus' intercessory prayer. So first question, why did Jesus pray for me? Well, he makes his concern very clear in this text. He said, I'm no longer in the world. I know that I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to rise, but then I'm going to ascend. And on this Ascension Sunday, we're well aware that he ascended to the Father to sit at his right hand and intercede for us. So he says it very clearly in verse 11, I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't with us. He's omnipresent, right? So he can be at the right hand of God, but he can also be with us and walk with us through our lives. But Jesus' prayer is very practical. It deals with my reality as I follow him in this world. The world was hostile to him, and he knows it's going to be hostile to me also. That's why we pray for the persecuted church every Sunday. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We live in a broken world, a world that is following all the wrong things, and we should stand out as people of faith. We don't march to that drummer. We march to the beat of God's kingdom drum. And this can be radical. It can free us from not retaliating when the world would retaliate, when we can be kind to people, when we can do random acts of kindness. And I should be encouraged by the answer to the why of this question. Why did Jesus pray for me? Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for me as I walk in this world. I love this passage in Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Jesus is at the right hand of God, speaking my name, speaking your name into the Father's ear, interceding for us with his perfect prayers. Awesome. Well, what did Jesus pray for me? And we're going to take a little deeper look at this. He prayed for basically two things that hinge off of two key verbs in this text. The first is keep them. Keep them in your name. The Greek word here is tereo, and it means to keep, to watch over, to guard, to protect. Very important. We need protection. Jesus knows that I need constant protection from my own unbelief. And I think he touches on the example of Judas here in verse 12, the example of Judas, who was destroyed by his love of the world. you know what? There's a little Judas in each one of us. Simul Justus et Peccator, as Luther said. I'm simultaneously Justus, justified, but I'm also Peccator. I'm a sinner. I'm a justified sinner. And I'm not going to be free from that sinful part of myself until I'm free from this body. Okay? And I'll get a brand new body in the resurrection, one that won't even know what sin is. But this old body does. Yours does too. So he prays for us. And then, of course, I need protection from the world because, as he says here pretty bluntly, look, the world was hostile to me. It's going to be hostile to you also. And then the devil, the evil one. Yes, we do have an enemy. Okay? The prince of this fallen world, he is against God and against his followers, and he's always breathing his lies into our ears, and we need protection from him, and we have it, okay? Greater is he that is in you, John says, than he that is in the world. Yes, we have an enemy, but we also have a victor, and we need to rely on him. So another part of this, part two of what did Jesus pray for me, is based on the word, this word sanctify. We don't often use that word in our common everyday speech. Hagiazo in the Greek. And it means to set something apart for service to God. Now, okay, now we get it. So hagiazo, set them apart for your purpose, O God. So as God's child, I have been set apart from the world to follow his truth, and his word is truth, and follow his son. Follow them in this world, not a pretend world, but the real world. This is my purpose. God's included me in the family business here to represent him, to be, as Paul says, his ambassador in this world. You can hear the components of this in verses 17 through 19. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. You know, we read a little bit of scripture every Sunday, don't we? That's important, because if the sermon's bad, you'll at least hear God's truth from his word, right? Philip Melanchthon used to do this. He always took his Bible to church. If the sermon was bad, he'd read his Bible. But that's your responsibility as members of this church. If I get off into left field somewhere with my preaching, you say, Pastor Brad, we need to hear from God's word today. So, a great help in my struggle to live as a person of faith in this broken world, in this fallen world, in this world that is hostile to God, is to remember that Jesus is my high priest. Jesus has set himself apart on the cross to accomplish God's purpose for me, to bring me into the position of seeing God as my friend and my heavenly Father, throwing open the doors of the throne room of God so I can walk right in anytime I want and talk to my heavenly Father. That's what Jesus did. So lest we think that good and faithful prayer is my effort, let us remember where the faith to pray comes from. So God's truth about this. Now, I love what the Norwegian theologian O. Hallesby said about this. He said, you know, many times we think we prompt ourselves to pray, but we should remember that when we're prompted to pray, it's actually God knocking on the door of our heart, saying, let's talk. Remember that the next time you pray. You say, okay, God, I get it. So God's truth about this is pretty clear. God creates my faith and sustains my faith. So as I hear God's promise of forgiveness in Christ, the Holy Spirit works through those words to create faith ex nihilo in me. Ex nihilo is a word that theologians use to describe the creation God spoke things into being. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? God has that power to speak things into existence. That's where our faith comes from. It's a creation of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, Paul tells us in Romans 10:17. And we should remember that Jesus has overcome the world. As I hear of God's love for me, I am actually freed from needing the world, from the world's influence and the way it operates. It's even its hatred of me. I am loved by God. That's my identity. I don't need the world's approval. And then finally, Jesus has defeated the devil. All he has is lies. He has no power over me. So as I hear of Jesus' victory, I am protected by God's truth from the devil's lies. There's the truth. There's where God fills our cup up and says, let's pray. Because of our state of being declared by God forgiven and righteous through what Jesus did for me, I have a beautiful repose. I have a sanctuary. I have a fortress if I need that. A place, a safe place to talk to my Heavenly Father, who's always willing to receive my prayers, who even when I'm prompted to pray, he's the one knocking, saying, let's talk. All because of Jesus. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, by your victory on the cross, you defeated sin, death, and the devil. Set me free to be God's child in this world. By the truth you have given me in God's word, give me faith, joy, and the willingness to follow you in this world, to be your witness in it. Give me the assurance that I am protected by your power and set apart for your purpose, for you have perfectly died, perfectly risen, and perfectly prayed for me. In your name I pray. Amen. As we respond to God's good word today, you're invited to sing together, Now Thank We All Our God, verses 1 through 3, hymn number 534 in your green hymnal, or as it appears on the screen.
Our hearts and hands and voices.
Let us pray. Gracious for this beautiful gift you have given us, the gift of prayer. We pray your blessing upon those who celebrate birthdays this week. We ask that you would bless Carly Thorson, Sandy Mann, Allison Jessen, Connor Nelson, Eli Milbeck, Braden Thorson, Joe Stenger, Mark Milbeck, Kathy Johnson, Jason Winkles, and London Milbeck. Lord, grant that each of these may have a renewed sense of your love and your care for them. Lord, we thank you that you are watching over us constantly as we live our lives in this world marked by sin and turmoil, but we pray that you would grant us the grace and peace to walk with our heads held high, knowing that we are your children and we have something to offer to everyone we meet. We have you. But Lord, we also have struggles, and in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able and join in singing our closing song this morning, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And you can see that on the screen, or it's on page 780 in the blue hymnal.
Leaning, leaning, leaning.
sharing your Sunday morning, bringing the fellowship to its complete and fullest. We so appreciate your presence here, whether it's here or online or on the radio. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord.
Thanks be to God.